This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. We are 2 months away from Election Day. And as part of WBUR's continuing campaign coverage, our reporters have been spending time with the candidates off the campaign trail. WBUR reporter Fred Tice recently spent time with Governor Deval Patrick, and he joins us to share what he's learned. Patrick has been leading in the polls, followed by Republican Charlie Baker, and then by Independent candidate Tim Cahill and Green Party candidate Jill Stein. Let's start, Fred, by getting your take on what's worrying Deval Patrick this election season.
I think the main thing is that the only thing that's keeping his head above the water right now is support for Independent candidate Tim Cahill. And what happens if that support vanishes? Where does that support go? Presumably those people are already against Tim Cahill. Do they stick it out until the very end? Or do they maybe go to Republican Charlie Baker? In which case, it looks pretty bad for Governor Patrick.
So for right now, it's a good thing that Tim Cahill is in the race.
He almost needs Tim Cahill to be in the race at this point.
What's your own sense of what he's done well and then what's been weak or what he needs to strengthen in his campaign?
It looks like he's doing all the things that he needs to do. He's been spending the last 6 months really working on his base and going out there. You really won't see him in Scott Brown territory campaigning too much. You really see him in all the places that voted for Martha Coakley, the Berkshires, the cities, you know, and making sure he's shoring up his base and getting people excited. Presumably the next thing he's going to do is reach out towards that middle now that the fall campaign's going to begin.
But for now, he feels like, I'm not going to spend the time on the areas where I'm not as supported. Let me just focus on making sure my core is quite strong.
And that's classic campaign strategy. You want to make sure your core is with you, and then you go out and you try to win the people in the middle.
So what does he need to do, in your view?
All he can do is do what he's done now. He can't do anything about the economy. That's obviously one reason why people are so upset. He's going out there and talking to audiences and making sure that the people with him are going to show up at the polls. And once he's made sure of that, then he needs to go out there and persuade people that he's actually accomplished a lot of things. I mean, people will tell me they just don't know what he's accomplished.
And Fred, you put that point directly to Governor Patrick, that he's had difficulty communicating his successes to his constituents. Let's listen to that exchange.
Now, people come up to me and they say, and I, these are people I often think would be inclined to vote for you. And they say, what has he accomplished? Does it bother you that there are people out there who don't know what you've been able to accomplish?
I don't know if it bothers me so much as I recognize it as a challenge. I think one of the biggest challenges I have found in this job is being heard over all the folks who stand on the sidelines and root for failure. I also think there's a part of this job, the bragging part of the job, which is absolutely essential if you want people to know what you've accomplished, but is not my comfort zone. I mentioned this to the president when he was here in the fall, about that and the fact that I don't like asking people for money. And he said, get over it.
The upcoming gubernatorial debate schedule just came out this week, so there's going to be a lot of more public forums with all of the four candidates. Do you think those debates give Patrick a chance to shine? Is that the public forum he could need to keep buffing up his image?
Absolutely, and I think that's why we've heard Deval Patrick ask for 8 debates this fall. So far, as far as we know, there are only 3 scheduled on television.
Because he thinks he excels in that arena.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, he's going to ask for the greatest number of debates that he can possibly get because he feels like he can do really well in them.
Because he's just a confident debater?
Yeah, and it's interesting that you bring that up because he clearly did better in the debates than his Republican opponent, Kerry Healy, 4 years ago. But a lot of people criticized his performance in the debates and felt like he just squeaked by that time. But clearly, if he's proposing to do 8 debates, he's feeling pretty confident about his ability to beat Charlie Baker, Tim Cahill, and Jill Stein.
Of course, he does have the advantage of the incumbency. Do you think that's giving him a lift right now?
It's really a liability in a way, right? Because things are so bad in Massachusetts as they are in the rest of the country. Patrick, of course, will argue that they're not as bad here as they are in the rest of the country. On the other hand, he is able to point to all his legislative accomplishments. And if he can go out and persuade people that he's managed to accomplish a lot of things in these last 4 years.
Fred, you asked him about those accomplishments in his years as governor, and those accomplishments are likely to be issues Patrick will be promoting in his campaign. So let's hear that tape.
What are you proudest of in this first term?
Everything from ending abuse in the state pension system to tightening the ethics and lobbying rules, to simplifying the transportation network, abolishing the Turnpike Authority, to civilian flaggers at state construction sites, to lowering people's auto insurance rates by introducing competition. Of all those reforms, though, education reform in some ways is the most personally important to me, because for that whole 17 years we've been on this course of improving the public schools, we've had a persistent achievement gap. And stuck in that gap, Fred, are poor children and children with special needs or who speak English as a second language, more often than not children of color. And, you know, those are our kids, too.
For people who like political jousting, who like the political horse race, do you think we're up for a lively campaign this fall or kind of a snoozer?
I'm really not sure. A lot of that, I think, is going to depend on Charlie Baker. So far, we've seen Charlie Baker be kind of tame, not a very enthusiastic campaigner. He's obviously a really a guy full of ideas and lots of policies that he wants to implement. So far, he seems to be kind of the reluctant campaigner, very much the contrary of Governor Deval Patrick, who loves to campaign.
So still tough to predict which way this one will go.
It looks like it's going to be a squeaker.
Fred, thanks very much.
Yeah, you're very welcome, Sasha.
Joining us now for more discussion on the governor's candidacy is Scott Hellman, political editor for the Boston Globe. Scott, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Sasha. Good to be here.
So I want to address two major recent issues in Massachusetts for Deval Patrick. Those are Race to the Top and casinos. Let's start with casinos. That was a long slog, especially to have it end the way it did, with no agreement on casinos. Do you think Patrick came out of that fight looking strong or looking weak?
I think I would sort of say neither. I mean, I think that he did push this issue a couple of years ago, as you know, though it was never a very popular issue among his base, the base that Fred was talking about just now. So, you know, I think he's been somewhat of a reluctant campaigner for this issue. Certainly this last time around, he was not the primary driving force behind it. So I don't think you can say that, you know, this is something he was really pushing and therefore it failed and therefore it looks badly for him. At the same time, a lot of people around the state, particularly in this economic climate, saw this bill as a jobs bill. That's how it was pitched and cast by supporters and proponents, who said, not only would we add jobs by, you know, in terms of adding people that work at the casinos and the racinos and so forth, but also all the construction jobs and all the ancillary businesses that would grow up around it. So I think to the extent that Baker and Cahill can say, look, this was a bill that would have added jobs, and Patrick and the legislature didn't get it done, I think that will be damaging.
In many ways, Patrick straddled the fence on the casino issue. It seemed that he was trying to court both sides of the casino debate. Do you think that's practical to do?
In some ways, it is. I mean, I think if you're a liberal member of the populace and you are not excited about casinos, you never supported it, you were disappointed when Patrick decided to sanction this issue a few years ago and push his own casino plan, you know, are you dissatisfied enough with that piece of his agenda that you're going to vote for Jill Stein or, you know, vote for one of his opponents? Probably not. So I don't think there's a huge risk there. I mean, again, I do think that the real risk is on the other side, where there are people in many struggling communities, including Fall River, which got its hopes up for having one of these big shiny new destination casinos, that, you know, that this was a guy who failed to somehow bring this bill home and therefore add thousands of jobs.
Speaking of jobs and labor, another potentially big issue is union support. And let me just run through some of those recently. Last week, when the AFL-CIO came out with its list of endorsements, Patrick's name wasn't on it. Then the state's decision to compete for Race to the Top money, that was criticized by the Mass chapter of the American Federation of Teachers, although I should note that the state's largest teachers union, called the Massachusetts Teachers Union, supported the application. Add on to that the fact that Patrick angered police unions with the civilian flaggers issue that we just heard him talking about to Fred Tice. It seems like you combine all that and Patrick might have a labor problem. Do you think that's true?
I think it's certainly true that he has antagonized some members of some organized labor groups and some union members. I'm not sure that it's necessarily a problem, however. I mean, remember, the big critique of him from his opponents in this campaign is that he's, you know, too beholden to insiders and too beholden to public employee unions and not willing to challenge them. So, you know, I think the extent to which he doesn't get union endorsements and people decide to picket him and the cops are angry with him for cracking down on what a lot of people see as extravagant benefits. I mean, it's hard for me to not see that as a political benefit for Patrick instead of a problem.
All three of Patrick's opponents, so Baker, Cahill, and Stein, have said that they would implement the 3% sales tax rollback if voters pass the ballot referendum this November. Patrick hasn't outright said he'd block it, but he has basically said that given the budget situation, the rollback would be a disaster. A lot of voters want that rollback. Do you think that stance hurts Patrick in the voting booth?
I don't know. I mean, I think that he was clearly being cute and trying to say that, you know, he wasn't necessarily committed to implementing that. I mean, it would be a pretty huge cut to the state budget, and I think there are a lot of voters who, in the abstract, would love to pay fewer taxes. But I think if you really explain to them what $2.5 billion would mean in terms of, you know, teachers and firefighters and library closures and things that people always say that they care about, you know, I think the conversation changes. So I don't know how big a deal that really will be at the end of the day. That, you know, I don't see this as some sort of huge galvanizing issue. I know there are supporters of this thing, but it feels like, I mean, there's going to be a lot of money spent, certainly, to defeat it, and my expectation is that it won't pass.
In the little time we have left, next week will be the next round in a series of gubernatorial candidate debates. Do you think these debates will hurt or help Patrick?
I think Fred got it right. I mean, this is Patrick's strength. I mean, he certainly has weaknesses, you know, on policy and politics that you can pick apart and criticize and challenge him on. But I think he is a campaigner at heart. He loves this stuff. He loves debates. He loves being with the public. So I do think that they're eager for time in front of the cameras.
We've been talking about the reelection campaign of Governor Deval Patrick with the Boston Globe's political editor, Scott Hellman. Scott, thank you very much for coming on Radio Boston.
My pleasure, Sasha.